Welcome back. Let's talk golf now here. And Guy Wall, as I mentioned earlier, won the Australian Senior PGA Championship yesterday at Richmond Golf Club after a very unique finish to this tournament. So they played just the one round to open it up, and Guy and Peter Lonnard were tied at 4 under 68. That was round one. But then came the rain and washed away the next couple of days. So they had an opening yesterday to try and determine the winner. They called Guy and Peter back. They ended up playing the same hole, the par 3 10th, five times to decide it. And in the end, Guy Wall was the winner. Peter Lonnard finished second. And I'm pleased to say that he joins me on the morning show. Peter, welcome to the program.
Thanks, man.
Look, it's great to chat to you, and I want to chat to you about a whole range of stuff, but we've got to start with what happened on the weekend there. One round, then one hole, five times over, just the two of you. You've played all around the world, Pete. Is that one of the weirdest finishes to a golf tournament that you've had?
Well, I've had a few strange ones over the years, but yeah, it was a little unusual. I think we all knew we were in trouble, you know, after the first day the rain was coming in, and so the second and third days were cancelled, and you know, I thought that was where it was going to end, and of course got a phone call saying how long is it going to take for you to be out here, and I said, oh, why? And he said, well, we're going to have a one hole playoff between myself and Guy. So anyway, so we played the 10th hole because that was one of the only ones not underwater, and we played it five times, and he stiffed me in the end. So it was a long drive to Richmond for, you know, second place. But anyway, that's just the way it works.
A long drive for five holes. So talk us through the mindset then when you get out there and it's basically a shootout just on the par three. I think you all bogeyed it the first three times over, didn't you? Both you and Guy?
No, the first hole we bogeyed. So
right,
we both our tee shots into the front bunker, and I hit mine to about 4 feet. He hit his to about 5 feet. He missed his, and then I lipped out. So that was probably my golden opportunity, I suppose. And I didn't take it. And then we parred the next three, and then he made a birdie on the last.
Was there much chat between just you and him?
Well, it was a bit strange because you sort of, you know, there were a few people there, you know, a few spectators, and, you know, like, I actually thought we were going to play hot, like 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 until someone won or something like that. I didn't know actually, you know, so I had my bag out and I'm ready to go. And then as it turned out, all I needed was a 4-iron and a putter. So, so it was a bit strange. You sort of played the hole and then you walked backwards back to the tee, and then you played the hole and then you walked backwards to the tee. And, I remember the Australian PGA up at Coolum, we used to play the 18th continuously, yes. But we used to always run for Langford Jones buggy because he had the best record as the driver back to the tee. He used to have a buggy. So, I suppose it's quite normal everywhere. Normally it's the 18th, but, you know, for this moment it was a long par three. So, you know, but definitely no stranger than, you know, us both tying and sharing the win, which caused a bit of a problem years ago.
Yeah, that's right. So now, you know, you have your standout winner, and congratulations to Guy Wall for doing so. You mentioned that, you know, you did have some weird ones along the way. Can you think off the top of your head across your career that took you all around the world to the biggest tournaments in the world, some of the weirdest things that popped out at you?
I suppose I was in probably in my career probably four playoffs, I suppose. The strangest one was actually for the European Tour School in about 1991. That was when I first started. Yeah, you know, in those days, and probably these days, you know, you'd pretty much spend nearly every penny you got to get to the school to play, and we were playing in a place called Montpellier in south of France, and I think they were giving out 30 spots or 40 cards. Anyway, if you tied, you had to, for 40th spot, you had to play off. So I had a shocking first round and somehow got back to about 40th, and and I tied with a guy called Torsten Gideon, which was a German, and I think it was Peter Hedblom or Hedrum or something like that. Anyway, he was from Sweden, so we had this these three-hole playoff, and anyway, we played. We ended up we were all on booked on flights out the next morning, and we had to come back the next morning because it got dark, and we ended up playing nine holes playoff. I think Torsten Gideon was the first one to get knocked out, and I think out of the nine holes, we had five birdies, and somehow I ended up getting my card, the last card, you know, just in time to get in the car, rush to the airport, get on there on a flight back to London and back to Australia. So, you know, that was the probably the, you know, it sort of was the meaning of the next entire year. You miss out, you don't play at all, you get in, you keep playing. So, you know, I suppose that was the biggest one that I've ever played.
And it's funny like that, the game, isn't it? It can be the highest of highs, but it's so cutthroat when you can, you know, that you can basically miss out on a year or two, or you can lock yourself in on a year or two and thereafter. And I remember when Rod Pampling won his final, you know, won his first one on that PGA Tour and took him so long. And one of the things that he spoke about was he can actually then start to plan his calendar and be there for his kid's birthday and all that kind of stuff. Whereas previously, when you're scampering around trying to make a dollar and make your card, you don't have that flexibility. At what stage in your career did you feel as though you had that control over the next couple of years of your life?
Well, I suppose it wasn't until I got to Europe in probably 98, I suppose. I had my card and, you know, I could pretty much pick and choose where I wanted to play. Then I went to America in 2001 or 2002, something like that. And, you know, it was like starting again. And, you know, if you're in, you had to play, and when you had to take your opportunities. And, you know, I suppose at the end of the day, the hardest thing is actually getting on the tours. You know, there's a lot of incredibly good players that never even get on the tours. But once you get on and you get comfortable and you get routine, you start playing courses that you played the same courses yearly. So you get a good feel for the courses that you like, and, you know, then you can really start to, you know, start moving forward and maybe, you know, get further up the world rankings and things like that.
And you won the Heritage in 2005 on the PGA Tour there. So that would have made life easy. Actually, I'm pretty sure Jim Furyk ended up runner up in that one. Just on Jim, has he got the weirdest swing you've ever seen for a pro?
Yeah, I suppose so. I think, you know, it's repetitive. So, yes. You know, but he, you know, incredible. You know, he hit it really straight. He hit the same sort of shape all the time. And, you know, as opposed to, you know, now when you coach and you get more positions, or this is the way the club's got to work, you know, you know, if you loop the club a fair bit, it actually becomes, it doesn't feel as bad when it's a little bit out, and, you know, so it's quite playable, and he could repeat it. I, like, at the end of the day, if you can repeat what you do and get the same sort of, you know, shape of shot continuously, well, then you can become a good player.
Then it works. Somebody said once that it's his swing's like swinging a rubber snake in a phone box, but you're right. It's it absolutely works. And let me tell you, the dollars are next to his name, and so are the trophies. So what are you up to now, mate? What's your focus around golf, and where does golf fit into your life now?
Well, you know, life's changed quite a bit. I suppose, you know, if you asked me 4 or 5 years ago, I would have said, I'll stay in America and try and get on the senior tour over there. I had a bit of a surprise on the way. So I've got a little girl called Yvonne. She arrived on around my 50th birthday. So, you know, life's changed a little bit. I've had a couple of goes at the PGA, but since COVID, I've pretty much stayed at home and, you know, just been spending time with the family. I do a little bit of coaching Mondays and Tuesdays at the Lakes Golf Club in Sydney. And, you know, that's about it. It's, you know, COVID's really changed the sort of direction as far as I was going. You know, hopefully, you know, I still play the senior tours and events in Sydney and around Australia when I can. And I still play a few of the flat bellies when I get the opportunity.
Well, mate, you're absolutely one of our best to have ever been out there and continue to surprise us with events like what unfolded across the weekend. And you've always been great with your time. Always great to catch up with you. And thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks, Matt. Great talking to you.